Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at the midweek prayer meeting of the church. We appreciate your presence and your fellowship in the meeting tonight. We're going to commence the service as we sing together the words of the hymn 184. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls with shepherd voice the flock that wanders from the fold. The hymn 184, and we're going to ask you to stand as we sing all of the verses of the hymn together, please.
There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls with shepherd.
Gracious Father, we do come before thee in prayer in the Saviour's name. We thank you, Father, for the words of the hymn that we have just sung together. We do want to praise thee for how you have blessed us, and we want to thank you especially for the Book of God. We praise thee for the Bible. We thank you, Father, for this book that is old, and yet it's ever new. We rejoice, Father, in the message that it has, even right up to date for the very day and hour in which we live. We want to thank you for blessing us with thy word. We pray for help to read it every day. We're conscious, Father, of all the demands of life, all the pressures upon us. Help us, even as the apostle exhorted young Timothy, to every day give attendance to reading. We remember that Moses said of the king that would sit in Israel, that he was to read the Word of God, that he was to read therein all the days of his life. Lord, give us such a desire. We pray for such a hunger for the Book of God. We want to pray that you will open it to us. We thank you even for the promises of which we have been singing together. And we rejoice, Father, that they are great and precious promises, that they're promises that are exceeding even the greatness of our need. Lord, we rejoice in that knowledge. We stand upon the promises of your word tonight. We pray for the power of God upon this meeting. You've said that if we ask, that you will answer. You've told us, Father, that we're to ask for the Spirit, and we're pleading, just as the early church did, that the Holy Ghost will come and descend down upon us in the service tonight. We pray that you'll quicken the time around the word. We ask thee, Father, to open it to us. We pray that your word will be fresh to our hearts. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless our souls even as we consider the word of God. We pray that it will be a message from the Lord, a word from thyself. We're praying, Father, for your speaking voice. We rejoice that you do speak to us. Help us, Father, never to take that blessing for granted. We pray that you'll speak to us tonight. We thank you for the book that you've given to us, through which you speak. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak clearly in the gathering tonight. Speak to all of our hearts. We pray that none will be excluded. We pray, Father, that all that are here will receive that great mercy from thyself, that you have a word for us, that you speak to all of our hearts. We pray, Father, that you'll speak in our land, even at this time. We want to pray that you'll speak all across this province. Speak through your word. We thank you for the infallible book. And we pray, Father, that the power of your word might be known. We thank you for a band of faithful preachers still across this land of ours. Keep every one of them. We're conscious of several of our colleagues, our own ministers that are so ill, laid aside at this time. And Lord, we pray that you'll remember them, strengthen them in body. We ask thee, Father, to remember every brother in this land that's faithful to thee. We pray that they'll know the help of God, the sustaining grace of the Lord. We pray that you'll keep them in these days of wickedness and temptation. We pray, Father, that you'd speak through all of your servants. We want to pray, Father, that each one would be an instrument in your hand. We pray that they would indeed be a prophet of God, that our land needs to hear the voice of God, the message of the Lord. And Lord, we ask as they would speak that they'll be used of the Lord, that the voice of God might be heard in every corner of this province. And Lord, we ask thee to speak in such a way that the land will turn again, even to thyself. We do feel our need, Father. We're conscious tonight as we come to your house of our own emptiness and weakness. Pray that you'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost. We're glad that we're able to be here. Thank you for bringing us to the meeting. Pray that you'll bless each one. Give us a blessing, Father, and make us a blessing. Help us to encourage each other as we're gathered here and pray for one another, even as your word exhorts. And Lord, we remember those that cannot be here because of illness and sickness. Do be near to each one of them. And those that have loved ones unwell in their family circle, even at this time. So we're praying, Lord, come and be with us. Own the meeting. Come down now in great blessing upon us. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with us, please, in the Scriptures to the first book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to read together the opening section. It's the first 10 verses of the chapter. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning to read at the first verse. Let us hear the Lord's word at our hearts tonight. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. So we'll end just there this evening, at the end of verse 10. And we pray the Lord will stamp his own blessing tonight upon this, the public reading of his word. Verse 9 is our text. Let me just read that verse to you again. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. If I can point out to you, I'm not sure if you noticed in the reading, there is a difference between verse 9 and verse 10, a difference between the instruction that Eli gave and what Samuel actually said. In verse 9, the instruction from Eli was, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But if you look at the end of verse 10, then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. He left out the word or the name Lord, the name Jehovah. The reason or the answer for that is found in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. One of the great significances of this passage and this night in the life of Samuel was it was the night he got saved. It was the night he came to know the Lord, came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I want us to think especially of those words in verse 9, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The theme is God speaking to his people. And our prayer is that that will be our experience as we're gathered here in the Lord's house, as you have the Bible, the word of God in your hand, that God will speak, that he'll speak in this meeting, and that he'll speak to us as his people. Can emphasize, this was one of the most important nights in all of Samuel's life. Remember, it was bedtime. The day was almost over. Eli was in bed. Remember that he's an old man, almost 100. He's 98 years of age. Eli's in bed. The old man has retired early. Samuel, the young lad, had just gone to bed himself. He had finished his duties faithfully for another day, and he had just got his head on the pillow. He's just settling himself down to sleep, settling himself down for the night. And then something remarkable happened. You ask, what was it? Well, he heard a voice. He heard a voice speak to him in the darkness. What happened that night was that God spoke, and God spoke to Samuel. That's the reason, men and women, if I could emphasize it for you, that is the reason why this night was so all important in the life of this young lad. It was the first time, let me emphasize that, stress it, it was the first time that God spoke personally and directly to Samuel. God is now beginning to speak to the young prophet. God is now beginning to speak to the nation, to Israel, as a people, once again. What a mercy that is. So what we have here in this passage of Scripture that is before us is a great example. It's a very practical passage for us. It's a great example of God speaking and God speaking to his people. And I want to just impress upon you tonight, brethren and sisters, what a blessing that is. We can get at times so familiar with church services, coming and going from the house of God, going through the routine, the order of a church service, that we lose sight of the great mercies that God bestows upon us. What a blessing, what a mercy it is when God speaks through his word, when God speaks in the meeting. That's what makes the meeting special. That's what sets it apart, when God speaks to his people. So that's what we need, brethren and sisters. That is the great need of the hour. It's the great need of the day in which we're found. It's the great need of our land at this time, that God would speak very clearly and powerfully. And that's something that we ought to have a desire for. May we never lose that desire, however long we're on the pilgrim pathway to heaven. May the Lord be pleased as the days and years go by to deepen and strengthen that desire, just to know and to experience and to hear God's speaking voice. So let's think of God speaking to his people. And let it not just be another message. Let the theme of the message, the theme of the passage, let it be a reality for every one of us that are assembled here tonight. That's the first thing I want to say something to you about, the reality of God speaking to his people. If you look there at verse 11, the very next verse where we ended the reading, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold," remember the word behold should get our attention, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle." But it's especially there, the opening words, "The Lord said to Samuel." So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, that God does speak to his people. You have an example of it here. This is a reality. God can speak to individuals. It can and it ought. Let me really emphasize that. It can and it ought to be taking place. This is not something that's impossible. This is not something that is unusual. It should be a reality for the people of God. And the question I want you to consider is the question, is it a reality in your life? Is that true of you? Is the Lord speaking? Can you say that on a regular basis you hear the voice of God guiding you, directing you, encouraging you in the Christian life? Bishop Taylor Smith, one of the noted Keswick speakers, the early part of the 20th century, when he was at Bible conferences and he would mingle in fellowship with the Lord's people, those that were present at those Bible conferences, he would sometimes be very pointed and direct in the things he would say to the people. One of the things that he liked to ask Christians was, "What did the Lord say to you today?" And that's a good question, brethren and sisters. What did the Lord say to you today? As you read his word, as you considered it, as you meditate upon it. The sad thing is we don't value that. We don't value the speaking voice of God as we should. Do you remember what the psalmist said? "Be not silent unto me." He's talking to the Lord. "Lord, Lord, don't be silent unto me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit." What he's saying is, if God doesn't speak, if you're at that place in your life, for whatever reason it is, because of sin, that you've got out of fellowship with God, grown cold, but if God is being silent to you, you've become like the ungodly. You've become like the unsaved. He says, "I'm like them that go down to the pit." What a solemn thing that is, brethren and sisters. If God is silent, if God is no longer speaking to us. If you think of the old man here, well on in years, old Eli, that's how it was with him. Think at the end of his days, the end of his earthly pilgrimage, and God was no longer speaking. He was no longer hearing the voice of the Lord. And I want you to notice, as you think of this passage and the reality of God speaking to his people, I want you to notice that God speaks even to young people. Samuel at this time was still a child. If you look at the opening verse, the opening line of the chapter, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." So I want you to see that God speaks to children. God speaks to young people. Josephus, who was the noted Jewish historian, he recorded that it's believed that Samuel was about 12 years of age at this time, the time that this passage, this event in his life took place. That's about the time that young Jewish boys would have their bar mitzvah. They would become a son of the law. Just like the Lord Jesus, whenever he was in the temple. Do you remember that time when Mary and Joseph were on the journey back to Nazareth, and they left the Lord Jesus behind in the city of Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple, questioning the doctors and so forth? What you have here, brethren and sisters, is a picture in Samuel, the young lad, about 12 years of age. You have a picture here of that incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you think of God speaking to children, to young people, what a lesson there is there. What an encouraging lesson. And the lesson is, bring your children and your young people out to the meetings. Bring them out to the house of God. Bring your family along with you to the place of worship. And the reason you should do that is because of what you learn here. God can speak to them. God can speak to children, to young people. The reality is, brethren and sisters, that children and young people take in far more of the truths that they hear in the meetings than we care to realize at times. So I want you to see, first of all, then, the reality of God speaking to his people. Notice, in the second place, the requirement for God to speak to his people. If you look at the words of our text, 1 Samuel 3, verse 9, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Notice the word there just at the end of the little phrase we're considering. "Thy servant heareth." What Samuel was instructed to say to the Lord was, "Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to hear. Lord, you have my ear for whatever it is that you want to say to me." And the simple truth is this, brethren and sisters, If you're going to hear God's voice, then you need to be listening for the voice of God. You need to be in that place where you can hear the voice of God as he speaks. In other words, for example, you need to be reading the Bible. You'll never hear the voice of God. You'll never get a word, a message from God if you don't read regularly and carefully the pages of the Scriptures. You need to be in God's house. Remember, that's where Samuel was. Don't lose sight of that fact. So if you're going to hear God speak, you need to be reading the Bible. You need to be in the house of God. Whenever the meetings are on, whenever the meetings have been held, the Word of God has been opened, the Scriptures are being proclaimed, the message of God is being taught, you need to be there. You need to be there if you're going to hear God speak. Remember, if you sit at home watching the television all the time, you'll not be in the place where you can hear God's voice as he's seeking to speak, as he's seeking to teach, as he's seeking to minister to your heart. You think of Martha. The Bible says of Martha, she was cumbered. She was burdened down, weighed down with serving, with all the duties and chores of life. She was too busy to listen. And you know, the reality is there are many like her. Many too busy to come to the prayer meeting, too busy to come to the house of God, even on the Lord's Day. Can I stress it that if you're too busy to come to the meetings, if you're too busy to read the Bible, then God cannot speak to your heart. One of the requirements, one of the great requirements in hearing God's voice is you need to be listening carefully for the voice of the Lord. If you contrast Mary with Martha, the Bible clearly says she heard his word. And the reason why she heard was she sat down at his feet. She settled herself. She sat just there at the feet of the Lord, sat before him, and was listening, attentive to all that the Lord would say to her. So never forget, never lose sight of the clear example that Mary of Bethany sets for us. So the requirement for God to speak to his people. I want you to think as well of the recognizing of God speaking to his people. If you look there at verse 4 and also verse 5, it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli. Now let me just emphasize that to you again. Verse 4, that the Lord did the calling. The Lord did the speaking. The Lord called Samuel, and he did the right thing. He answered, "Here am I." But it says, he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." So I want you to notice that when God first spoke to the lad, Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. Whenever the Lord first called this young lad, Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord as it spoke to him. He knew someone was speaking. He was sure of that. He hadn't a doubt. Every time the voice was heard, every time the Lord called, he knew that someone was speaking. He knew that someone was calling. But he didn't realize that it was the Lord. And he made the awful mistake, because instead of realizing it was the Lord himself, he thought that man was speaking, that the call that he was hearing that night in the darkness was the call of man to his heart. And that still happens, men and women. Still happens regularly. Remember, as you think of this passage, that God spoke to him three times, and Samuel didn't realize. In any one of those first three times, he didn't realize. The Lord repeated the call. How patient, how persistent the Lord was, and still he didn't know. Still, he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And even more tragic than the fact that Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord, nor did Eli. Remember, he was the older man, much more experience, much more maturity spiritually and in the things of God. But even the old man at first didn't recognize the voice of God. Do you remember what Job said? God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. It's not often happened to us, men and women, God's speaking, and he speaks over and over, and still we don't perceive it. We don't recognize it, don't realize it. Well, that's really a good summary of what's happening here. God speaketh once, yea, twice, even a third time, and neither the lad or the old man perceived it, realized that it was the Lord. Can I ask you to think for a moment, just consider the question, is the same thing happening to you? Is God or has God been trying to speak to you? Maybe several times, maybe for some considerable period of time, God has been seeking to speak to your heart. Maybe he's spoken to you in different ways, speaks through his word, sometimes speaks through the voice of conscience, sometimes speaks through events that takes place in our lives. It's God trying to speak to your heart, but you haven't realized it. You maybe thought it was man. Maybe you thought it was the minister, the preacher, maybe a family member, maybe some of your parents. You know, one of the lessons that we learn here, one of the practical spiritual lessons for each one of us, is that we need to be careful, very, very careful, to recognize the voice of God in our lives, in our hearts, and in our daily walk, and in our daily experience with him. One of the things the Savior said, you know, those words that are often repeated in the New Testament, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So you need to be attentive. You need to be careful to hear what God is saying. And on one occasion when the Lord uttered those words, he added, take heed that you hear. So let me just underline that for you. We need to take heed. Need to be very, very careful that when the Lord is speaking, that we're ready spiritually, heart and mind, and our ears open to recognize that it is the Lord himself that is calling, that is seeking to teach us from his word. What that means, brethren and sisters, for us, if that's going to happen, you need to pray. You need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for spiritual wisdom. Remember, we considered that with the children a few weeks ago. Need to pray for spiritual wisdom whenever we're living for God every day. We need to pray for discernment, spiritual discernment. Remember that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, their foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. There's a spiritual discernment. There's a discernment that the child of God only receives and obtains by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit coming upon their life, by the Spirit teaching them. So we need to pray for that discernment so that we recognize, so that we don't miss the voice of God when he speaks. Think of how awful it would be if God were to speak and we didn't realize it, we didn't discern it. We need to pray as well, something very close to discernment, perception. You actually have that mentioned there in the 8th verse, the end of the verse. It says, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So it took to the third time that God spoke that night before old Eli himself realized, perceived, that it was God, it was God's voice that was calling young Samuel. So we need to pray for that perception, brethren and sisters, that the Lord would endow us with such spiritual abilities and gifts and blessings. Just very quickly, as we close, think of the request for God to speak to his people. Notice the words that we're considering there in verse 9. Speak, Lord. Remember, he's addressing God here. It's the word Jehovah, the covenant God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want to stress that these words are a prayer. Old Eli's guiding, advising, giving some spiritual instruction to the lad, and he's teaching him to pray. He's encouraging him to talk to the Lord. So the words that are before us are a prayer, brethren and sisters. And I want you to notice that they're a brief prayer. What we have in this passage is a good lesson in brevity in prayer, brief petitions. There's just six words in the petition, the request, that we have recorded here. So it's a prayer, it's a request, it's a brief prayer. And remember too, it's a child's prayer. That even a child, that this is just a young lad that's been guided to petition the Lord in this manner. So it's a child's prayer. And any one of us can pray this prayer as well. Because what Samuel's doing here is he's asking God. He's requesting of the Lord. He's pleading with God to speak to him. And I want to encourage you to do the same, brethren and sister. I want you to follow the pattern. I want you to follow the example that is being set for us here. You have other examples of this same truth taught in different places of the Scripture. Do you remember Joshua leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land when they came to Jericho? Do you remember that before the battle that Joshua was by the walls of Jericho, and he met the captain of the Lord's host? We believe that to be the Lord Jesus. We believe that to be a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior himself appeared to the captain of the host. He was the great captain, of course. And Joshua said to the Lord Jesus that day, "What saith my Lord to his servant?" So it's a very similar petition. A very similar request. He's asking God to speak. He's asking for a word. He's asking for a message from God for his heart, for the circumstances, thinking, Joshua's thinking especially of the battle at Jericho, thinking of the conquest of the Promised Land, the great task that lay before him. And he needed a word from God. What saith my Lord to his servant? You ever prayed like that, brethren and sisters? You say no, maybe you say you'd be afraid to. And that is true. Sometimes Christians are afraid to ask God to speak to them because they're afraid of what God might say to them. They're afraid of what God might ask them to do, what his will might be, the path along which he would lead them. Remember what James taught in his epistle in relation to prayer. We have not because we ask not. If you don't pray like this, the example that's set here, the request, if you don't pray like this, you're not going to hear the voice of God. The Lord's going to be silent to you. He's not going to speak. And the prayer meeting, brethren and sisters, is such a time. That's one of the reasons why the prayer meeting is so important. We want to ask God to speak. You think of the meetings that we hold. You think of the Lord's Day services, morning and evening, generally in the morning. The messages to the believer, the evening to the unconverted. The Sunday school, the children's meetings, the youth fellowship. What do we want to happen, most of all, in all of those services? We're not bringing the people and the children, the young people in to entertain them. We're bringing them in because we want God to speak to them. We want the Lord to speak to each heart, just as he did here. Remember, he spoke to this lad. That's what we want to see happen in our meetings. And especially, we want to see God speak savingly. And then when people are saved, we want the Lord to lead them on, guide them and show to them his will. And if that's going to happen, brethren and sisters, then this is the prayer we need to pray as a congregation. This is how we will see a difference in our services, see a difference in our meetings, as unitedly and earnestly we plead with God to speak. Speak, Lord. Speak in Armagh Free Church. Speak in every service. Speak to every heart, every soul that comes in to our meeting. Speak in a greater way than you've ever done before. Speak through us to this city, as we think of the outreaches that we're engaged in, the departments of the church, the contact that they have both here and down in Killaloe. Lord, speak in this city. Speak in the village of Killaloe, the communities round about. Speak in this district. Speak across the land. Here's a great petition, brethren and sisters. The request. Take the request tonight upon your heart. And don't forget, we need to pray it for ourselves as well. When you come to the meeting, when you come to the house of God, whenever you open up the Bible for your quiet time, there's no better request that any of us can make than these words Eli taught Samuel to pray. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So God speaking to his people. May that ever be so, brethren and sisters. May that ever be our experience every day we live upon this earth. Let's just sing a verse or two of 182 before we come to the announcements and the time of prayer. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. So the hymn 182, we're going to stand and we'll sing the first, the third, and the last verses, 182, verses 1, 3, and 4, standing as we sing, please.
Break thy love.